Welcome back. Today on the program, we're very happy to introduce to you classical guitarist Fred Springer of the EKS Music School here in Quincy, putting on a free concert next Saturday at St. Chrysostom's Episcopal Church right in Wollaston. Fred, good to see you.
Thanks, Joe, for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Great to see you.
Learn a little bit about yourself, about the school, and about the concert.
Yeah.
A little different here on the program, so we're happy to talk about classical music.
Oh, yeah.
Before we talk about that, tell me about Fred Springer. What's your story?
Yeah,
how did you
arrive
here in Quincy?
Well, I've been teaching at EKS Music School for a little over 4 years now.
Okay.
But I first moved to Boston in 2021.
It's
a long story. I'm originally from Florida.
Oh.
And so I studied music in Texas and Georgia and graduated right as the pandemic hit. So then bounced around for a couple of years and then landed in Boston.
Okay.
So I moved up to start working with a nonprofit that's centered in Alston, Brighton, called the Cathara Project.
Hmm.
We do lessons and classes at no cost to families, like underserved youth in Alston, Brighton areas.
I see.
And I also got connected with Elisa's Kwan at the EKS school.
Sure.
And I've been working there for a few years now. So.
Okay.
So
you have two loves, it sounds like.
Yes.
Classical music and teaching.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah. I taught, you know, during my studies, but especially since graduating, it's been, you know, a really fulfilling thing as far as an occupation goes to get to, you know, help students kind of realize their potential on instruments or just with music in general.
Yeah.
And, you know, help them become more expressive and more in touch with their, you know, human side of things.
Yeah.
And also, you know, help them work and get better and see results and perform in concerts themselves. So it's a really rewarding pursuit for me.
Yeah. Do you come from a musical family, Fred?
Certainly music lovers.
Okay.
You know,
right.
Both my parents have a wide variety of sort of musical influences. Neither of them play instruments, but they, you know, instilled a love of music in me from an early age.
Mm.
And then were very supportive as I got into studying myself. And, you know, I started with the electric guitar and, you know, playing rock and roll and things like that, as most do. And then eventually in high school, actually, I heard classical guitar and just fell in love.
Really?
And yeah, it was off to the races from there.
Okay. What is it about classical guitar that you love?
Oh, it's hard to say, but there's this, I think, a sense of intimacy that I really engage with. It has a power to sort of draw us in.
Hmm.
You know, the guitar, it's not a particularly loud instrument, especially the classical or acoustic guitar.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, what is classical guitar? When I think of classical music, I think of, you know, symphonic music, right?
Yeah, totally.
Not guitar so much, yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, but it has a really kind of rich history, and it stems from early instruments like the vihuela, or the lute is the one that most of us know now. You know, these early plucked strings. But the classical guitar can refer to genre, so basically what kind of music we play, whether it's from the classical period or Baroque music like Bach or, you know, later Impressionism, Debussy and things like that. So these kind of classics of the classical music repertoire. But it is a little bit different in its construction. So the strings, most of the time, the top three are nylon or like a plastic instead of steel. So if you think of, you know, John Denver or, you know, somebody playing sort of steel string guitar, singing along with it, that has a much kind of brighter, louder sound.
Sure, yeah.
And the classical guitar is a little softer, a little sweeter.
Okay.
Again, kind of has that intimate sound that draws you into it.
Yeah. Can you play classical guitar on an electric guitar?
Yeah. I think, you know, again, the music can be played on different sorts of instruments, but to me, and the classical guitar, that history evolved throughout Europe and then especially took hold in Spain, and the construction of the modern guitar that we play now, a lot of that came out of both Vienna, but especially Spain, with the body shape and the strings like they are.
I see.
And so it's also connected to some Spanish history and repertoire, you know, the flamenco tradition as well,
of
course.
Right, yeah.
So I think for a while it was kind of considered the classical guitar or the Spanish guitar.
Okay.
It was just another name for it. You know, in the 20th century when artists like Andre Segovia sort of brought the guitar into the concert hall where symphonies would play or pianists, you know, he sort of helped bring it to a wider audience and elevate it to a status of the concert hall.
But was there pushback from the quote-unquote traditional musicians, you know, the violinists?
Maybe. I think at the time it was different. One of the big things that he did, and there were many other guitarists, too, who were performing. Some South American guitarists like Maria Luisa Anita was a big one. She toured all around the world. Julian Bream from England a little bit later. One thing that they did was they commissioned new pieces from composers, but they also played traditional repertoire on the guitar.
We can do it this way too, right?
Yeah, they took things like violin pieces or pieces written for the cello or the piano and sort of adapted them to be played on the guitar.
Neat.
It's just a really great thing. I still remember the first piece that I really heard of the classical guitar was actually originally written for the piano.
For the piano.
Yeah. It's famous. It was made famous sort of with interpretations on the guitar.
Yeah.
It's called Asturias or Leyenda by Isaac Albéniz, who was a Spanish pianist. But it's just a kind of classic piece now. And even Albéniz himself was thinking of the guitar as he wrote it, sort of, you know, emulating that on the keyboard.
Neat.
Yeah.
Now, you yourself have performed all over the world, right?
I have. Yeah. You know, I've been lucky to, be able to travel some with the instrument, and both for study and for, you know, performing.
Yeah.
You know, I've lived in different places in the U.S., but I've traveled to Canada or places in Europe like Switzerland for music festivals and had some performances through there.
Sure.
My mother's family is from Argentina.
Okay.
So as I've gone down, it's been a while now, but the last time I was there was 2019. And I performed a little bit there too. So it's been, you know, I often consider myself just so lucky to be able to share this kind of music and you know, present concerts and different places.
Well, at such a young age too, Fred, you know, quite honestly, if you think about it, people spend a lifetime trying to perfect, you know, this medium, right?
Yeah.
And to be able to perform to audiences.
Sure.
You've done it still in your 20s.
It's a lifetime pursuit, of course, but you know, I consider myself lucky, and a lot of the opportunities, you know, came through, of course, some hard work, but good connections, and, you know, the people that I studied with, my professor in Texas, Adam Holzman, who's a great American guitarist, and the man I studied with in Columbus, Georgia, Dr. Andrew Zone, also, you know, a composer and performer in his own right, recording artist, so, you know, I've been lucky to maintain relationships with them and be able to play at all kinds of spots.
Yep. So, and you have your very own recording coming out next week, right?
Yes.
Yeah, tell me about that.
So on Tuesday, I'll release this recording. It's a short, I'm calling it an EP, but it's a shorter CD of 5 tracks.
Okay.
And it's going to be just a digital release, but I'm very excited. It's some recordings that I've made over the last year or so, a good array of music, spanning, you know, from the Renaissance until like 2018, so you know, a solid 400 plus years.
Yeah, and 5 songs.
Of music.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we cover a lot of ground, but it's some of my favorite pieces that I've played in the past, and a piece that my friend wrote for me.
Oh, nice.
In 2018, a great guitarist, right before we left Texas.
I see.
So it's an exciting thing.
Is this your first recording that you're releasing to the public?
Yeah, I've had some singles, so single tracks that have come out. A couple of which will appear on the album, but this is sort of my first, you know, fuller length.
Well, congratulations,
Thank you.
What's it called?
It's called Moontides.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that one of the songs also?
It's not.
No?
It's actually, it's a funny story, kind of, Joe. There's a common joke that I make as just, you know, one of those life bits that you can do is when somebody says a phrase or a couple words that I find particularly funny, I often say, like, oh, well, that was the name of my first album. So if you said, like, you know, I'm endlessly trudging through the snow, I'll say, oh, endlessly trudging, that's the name of my first album.
All right.
And it was with a couple of friends of mine. We were on a balcony one night, and just somebody or something came up, and they said the word Moontides, and I made the joke. And after a while, and when I was getting ready to release this, I said, well, wait a minute, that's kind of
an
interesting
cool
title. Yeah,
okay.
And the last piece, the piece I mentioned that was written by a friend of mine. His name is Razvan Bezna. He was my fellow compatriot at the University of Texas. We were the two people in our program for our 4 years there, like in the class of 2018.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We played in duo and we're still close
and
remain in touch. He's from Canada. But he wrote a piece, it's called The Bungalows, And it actually contains a quote from Clair de Lune by Debussy, which, you know, that title means Light of the Moon. Mm-hmm. And so there's a loose moon connection.
All right,
so
all right.
I felt like solid enough about having that moon tides as the title.
Well, it is, moon tides are a real thing, as you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Lunar tides can
definitely
be quite devastating,
yeah,
actually,
yeah,
in some cases.
Absolutely. And I'm a huge fan of the moon. You know, anyone who knows me knows that if we're walking around at night, anytime I see it, especially when it's getting near full, I'm always like, oh my gosh, look, there it is.
So, you'll be performing cool. It live, right, for your release next week?
Yes, yeah, on Tuesday, which is the day that the album comes out.
Yep.
I'm going to have a show in Cambridge at the Lily Pad,
okay,
which is a great venue. It's me, and I'm going to be joined by a few other musicians, a few other groups, some awesome folks. Rayleigh Beggs, a duo electric guitar and voice called Saint Boneface, an amazing early music trio called the Pandora Consort, three singers, and then my good friend Deshaun and I play in duo. He's a flute player, so we have a duo called Duo Fresh.
Okay.
And so we'll play a couple pieces, and I'll play some solo at the end.
Yeah,
too.
Fun.
Yeah.
But for folks who can't make that,
yes,
you're right here in Quincy.
Right, right around the corner.
Yeah, February 21st, 4 p.m., St. Chrysostom's Church in Wollaston. It's going to be called Encounter, Music for Here and Now.
That's right.
Yeah, what's going on?
So this is a sort of broader, bigger solo program that I've performed a little bit so far, but I'm excited now to perform it more publicly. I'm going to do a concert next Saturday, as you said, the 21st, and it's a really kind of diverse array of music, and I'm really excited about these pieces. There's so many of them, you know, I've known and loved for a long time, some of which I had played before and some of which I learned more recently. But it's an exciting, you know, day of live music. The title Encounter comes from this idea of, you know, the kind of quality of live music to bring us into a space and the sort of here and now of it all.
Mm.
And, you know, no matter if the music was written yesterday or it's completely improvised or 400 years ago, you know, there's an immediacy to it.
Yep.
There's a level of connection that is brought by live performance.
That's how people are experiencing it at that particular moment
definitely.
In time, right?
And that really resonates with me. That's one of the things I love most about performing or listening or just being a part of any encounter like that. So it's an exciting thing. I'm actually going to have at this Quincy concert a couple of my students.
You have an opening act.
Yes, from EKS,
Which
is a music school just up the road.
Yeah.
Just up from Quincy Center. My student Magana and another student Eden are going to play a few pieces in the beginning just to kind of warm up the crowd and get a chance to show off their hard work and awesome musicianship for their age. You know, they're younger kids, but they're really developing and becoming, you know, their own, you know, amazing musicians. So it's a cool thing to watch.
Yeah.
And they'll open, play, you know, two or three pieces before I start. And then
what are their instruments, right? What do they play?
Also guitar.
Oh, also guitar.
Yes,
okay.
And they're classical students, so they're sort of, you know, they represent this next generation of musicians carrying on this tradition.
Proud teacher moment, I
think. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It was Elise, full credit at EKS, who, when I mentioned that I would do the concert, she said, oh, well, maybe you could have some EKS students. I said, that's a great idea. So I'm excited to have them play a few pieces before me.
Fun, and fun for their families too, right?
Definitely, I hope so.
Is this their first public performance, do you know?
Well, they've both performed at many EKS recital,
sure.
You know, but still that's more friends and family and smaller kind of, you know,
more
private.
Venue, yeah.
This is an exciting thing for the public, and it's free and open to the public.
Yep.
You know, I hope folks come out and enjoy some great music, and it is a really fun thing to do.
How did you connect with St. Chrysostom's? I'm curious how that connection happened.
So Susan Bill, who's another teacher at EKS, she teaches strings, like violin and viola, cello. She's the music director at the church. So we actually, at EKS, during our end of the semester recitals, we do the concerts at different places, but sometimes we perform at St. Chrysostom. And we actually just had the guitar recital in December, and we played there again.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, man, it sounds so good
it
in
worked,
here.
It worked, yeah.
It's a perfect little size. I mean, it's big enough to host a good number of folks, but the sound is really pure and beautiful. So I started speaking with her after that, and I said, you know, could we maybe organize a concert? Mm-hmm. And she connected me with the father there, and I'm really lucky to, again, have this door be opened and hopefully open it to the public too, and have some people come out.
It's right in a neighborhood. Folks could walk, and there is parking available as well. It's free, as you mentioned. About a 90-minute show, is that right?
Yeah, with intermission, and all told, you know, it's a little over an hour.
Okay.
You know, I play two halves, and then, as I said, we'll have some opening act. So it'll be a wonderful afternoon, and 4 p.m. to me is the perfect time. You come out. You know, you can get up late on a Saturday and then come out and then get dinner after, what have you.
Sure.
So,
sure.
And I love, you know, one of the things I love most about performing live is engaging with the audience. You know, when I play, of course, you know, the music that I play is instrumental. I'm not singing. I'm not, you know, talking during. But I love to give context for the music and some historical pieces or some personal anecdotes. Mm. And, you know, again, that here and now and that encounter, anything to kind of bring us together and give us something to really grab onto while we listen and while we share that experience.
Yeah, will you take questions from folks maybe after?
Definitely. That's what I was saying. I love afterwards, you know, meeting people and hearing their reactions and their favorite pieces, or, you know, oh, this reminded me of something. And during, you know, I haven't opened it up to Q&A during as much, but yeah, I love.
Well, you want to get the show on the road,
engage.
Right?
So that's one of my favorite parts, really, about that. Yeah. You know, and comparing that to the recording.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice and to work on it and polish something and then, you know, get to release it and hope, you know, people listen.
Hope, right,
and enjoy. But there's something different about, you know, we're all in the same place, we share the moment, and then afterwards we can debrief and connect. And
instant feedback, right?
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
I hope you have a wonderful time.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
Congratulations on your release and on the concert.
Thank you so much.
Please come back.
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right, good to
talk
to you.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
You too.